My name is Doug Keegan. I'm the program director for the Santa Cruz County Immigration Project. We have been in operation for about 18 years, helping the immigrant community in Santa Cruz County with the whole range of immigration legal needs, including citizenship and petitions for family members.
And your office has been getting flooded, shall we say, with calls from immigrant communities around the area complaining about raids that took place last Thursday and Friday. What kinds of stories are you hearing?
We very quickly heard reports back from family members of people who were taken into custody by immigration and who were then transported to Fresno and from there transported to, in most cases, Mexico. The reports were very disturbing because, first of all, the officers came to these homes at 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., banging on the door, identifying themselves as the police, and once they gained entry to the home, started questioning everyone in the home as to their immigration status.
Is there any evidence that local police agencies took part in these raids?
No, and in fact, just the contrary. Most local law enforcement agencies were not aware that immigration was planning these raids.
These are largely people who were, the people who were rounded up. We're talking about 107 people in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties who were rounded up in these raids. Most of them have been living their entire lives primarily in this country. Can you talk about the people who were rounded up? I mean, we're hearing reports in the mainstream press that some of these people were wanted felons or had, you know, criminal convictions, and that that was the reason that they were being rounded up. But it seems broader than that to me.
It was much broader than that. There were very few actual convicted criminals who were rounded up in these raids. There were a number of people who had outstanding deportation orders, but not based on criminal convictions. They were deportation orders because they had filed papers with immigration to try to obtain legal status that were ultimately denied, and which then led to deportation orders. But you're right that many of these people were folks who had a long history here in this here in the United States. They were homeowners, business owners, families with children born here. They were very well established members of the community, and that's what is so distressing for so many of us, that people who are otherwise law abiding and sort of fixtures of our community were taken away.
Can you talk about the extended impacts of that? What that does to families? How are they going to? It seems a lot of these men, a lot of these people were men. They were the breadwinners. How are these families going to make it now that the breadwinner is gone?
In addition to the separation from their loved ones, the economic impacts on these families is devastating. You know, as you mentioned, many of the people taken were the primary breadwinners in the family. Many of the family members who have now come to me have asked me, how will we survive? How can we keep paying our rent, our mortgage payments? How can we buy food? It's heartbreaking to talk with these folks because they are truly devastated by these raids.
And
I had at least one person. I had a 17-year-old girl and her younger siblings who said, well, I guess I'm going to have to quit school so that I can go to work and try to keep up the house payments, because both her mother and father were deported to Mexico. They owned a house. They were making payments on a house. And now this young person is completely at a loss as to how she's going to be able to maintain the housing for herself and her younger siblings.
Almost half of the people rounded up in the raids last week have already been deported to their home countries. Is that
accurate? That's my understanding. And in fact, I would predict that even more than half at this point. Many were sent back within 24 hours. And I think that the majority will, in fact, be physically transported to Mexico in the near future.
What kinds of legal rights do immigrants have once they're taken into custody?
Well, they can certainly request a hearing in front of an immigration judge. Many of the people picked up did not know that, did not exercise that right. Unfortunately, for a lot of the people, though, even if they were to request a hearing in front of a judge, their chances of stopping the deportation are minimal. Many of the people were, in fact, undocumented, but that was their only offense. That was the only thing that they were guilty of. They weren't dangers to the community, and in fact were contributing members of the community. So it's even though they have these rights, they, you know, those rights may not have been of much use to them.
I'd like to frame the local raids that took place last week in the context of the national debate happening around immigration. It was reported in the Santa Cruz Sentinel that this was part of a nationwide enforcement effort by the San Francisco Bureau of Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, and that more than 20,000 arrests have been made in the last fiscal year. Is that a high number? Is that relatively standard? And then can you just kind of put the local raids in the context of the national debate?
Well, and as I understand it, these raids were conducted as part of a national effort, and that national effort is alleged to be apprehension of convicted felons and persons with outstanding deportation orders. And I'm willing to accept that the officers did have a list of people who may fit that profile. But what was distressing about these raids is that they didn't stop at the names of the persons on the list. They didn't limit their search and seizure of people to just the names on the list. They started questioning everyone in the home. And that's what I think was the most problematic aspect of these raids. If they only limited themselves to actual convicted criminals and persons with outstanding deportation orders, I think it would be more acceptable and more understandable, let's say, to the community. I think there's also a coincidence or a correlation between the protests that took place earlier this year and the wider publicity given to these raids. It's almost as if immigration is trying to prove a point or to make a statement that immigrants who demonstrate for better immigration laws, for immigration reform, that we're going to come back and show and flex our muscles. We're going to raid your communities and take people away. So that part of it is very troubling for me.
And with this number, this high number of 107 people in this two-day raid, is that on par with numbers you've seen in years past? Or as you kind of mentioned, it seems that ICE officials are making a show of force, if you will.
The numbers are large, mainly because there have not been raids like these in our area for probably at least 10 years or so. For the most part, immigration has limited itself to picking up only people who are incarcerated and who are being held in the local jails for immigration to take them into custody and deport them. This is the first time that I know of in at least 10 years where they actually went to people's homes and started large-scale interrogation of people who just happened to be present at the time. So the numbers in themselves are one issue, but it's the type of raid and the method of the raid that is really disturbing to the community.
The circumstances you describe where the ICE officials come in, the officers come in to do the raid pre-dawn hours and start questioning people, what advice would you give to immigrants in those circumstances where they're looking for a specific person on a list, but then they start questioning all the other people? Should they talk? Should they not talk? What advice would you give?
The most important thing I can tell people is not to open your door to begin with. Once you open your door to the officers, they are given great latitude in questioning people. But if you don't open your door, they don't get that opportunity. And you're not required to open your door unless the officers present you with a warrant. In these cases, I'm not aware that the officers had a warrant, but they identified themselves as police. People innocently opened their doors thinking it was their civic obligation, but I'm telling people not to open their doors unless they are sure what is the purpose of the visit by the law enforcement officers. And I worry that this is going to affect community policing efforts that have tried to develop trust between local people and law enforcement. But I think that's one of the casualties of these raids that were conducted by immigration. They were not done in coordination with local law enforcement, and I think they have set back local law enforcement efforts that have developed over the years.
And any final thoughts that you have on this issue?
Well, I would recommend to people, in addition to not opening their doors, that if they do come in contact with immigration officers, that they invoke their right to remain silent as well. Because even if the officer does make access to their home, they're not required to answer questions. They shouldn't try to flee the situation, because just the act of fleeing will give the officers probable cause for apprehending the person and questioning. But if they simply refuse to answer any questions, they're actually better off.
All right, Doug Keegan, I really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Vinny, and thanks for bringing some attention to this issue.